It is time for our regular weekly conversation with Peter King. Football Night in America. Peter joining us right now. Good morning, Peter. How are you? Hello, Peter.
Dale, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Happy New Year to you.
Hey, same to you. How's it going?
It's going great, thanks. Were you a little surprised to see eight coaches get the gate at the end by the time the season ended?
Well, Adam Gase surprised me a little bit because I thought that Miami was only going to make a change if Coach X was available. And I thought Coach X for them was John Harbaugh. And I would not be surprised to see the Dolphins slow play this process because I don't think they're in love with any of the candidates out there right now. And I think they do really like John Harbaugh. So it's very interesting what's going on in Baltimore right now. The Ravens are acting like, and maybe rightfully so, that all is well. And I don't mean this is Kevin Bacon in Animal House all is well. I mean that they are acting like John Harbaugh is definitely our coach next year. But I just have this suspicion that if they can't reach some sort of extension at the end of this year, you know, through at least 2020, I think Harbaugh would not have that big a problem with being a lame duck next year, because being a free agent in the coaching ranks is a pretty lucrative opportunity. And nobody's ever done it before, really. Nobody's ever voluntarily done that. So, I just think, I'm not saying there will be drama in Baltimore. I'm just saying there could be drama in Baltimore.
Out of the eight jobs that are available, which in your mind is the best and which is the worst?
Cleveland's the best. Cincinnati's the worst. Cleveland has the most talent. They've got a good young quarterback. And even though, who wouldn't sign up tomorrow for 4 years with Aaron Rodgers? I think the talent gap between Cleveland and Green Bay is significant. And so I think they're the best. As far as the worst, I mean, you know, look, as I wrote my column this week, I had one football person tell me a couple of years ago, or a few years ago, that Cincinnati basically was the 33rd franchise. And, you know, that's just the way it's always been. They have a very family-oriented way of doing business. And, you know, the fact that Marvin Lewis was on the job for 16 years and never won a playoff game should tell you everything you need to know about the way they do business there. And again, you know, Marvin Lewis had some good years, and I think overall he didn't do a failing job. He just didn't do a great job, but year after year they stuck with him.
Why are they even considering Hugh Jackson? Or at least that's the reports that are out there.
Because Mike Brown does not care what you think or I think or what anybody thinks. He doesn't care. He knows Hugh Jackson. He likes Hugh Jackson. He knows Vance Joseph not as well, because he was only there, I think, 2 years as the secondary coach. And he likes Vance Joseph, too. I would not be surprised at all if this is either Vance Joseph getting the job and Hugh Jackson being offensive coordinator, or Hugh getting the job and Vance Joseph being defensive coordinator. Neither of those things would surprise me.
Should Mike Tomlin get credit for keeping the ship afloat with the issues with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, or should he take some blame for the dysfunction within that organization?
That's the question of the century. That's such a good question. And, you know, I think overall, I think mostly, and I mean mostly, he deserves credit. But he certainly deserves some blame for being, over the years, an enabler of a guy like Antonio Brown. And, I mean, to me, I think the Antonio Brown story, even though Mike Tomlin obviously didn't let him play on Sunday, so that's a good thing, I mean, how good is it really? What coach in his right mind would have let Antonio Brown play after he went AWOL for 2 or 3 days? He didn't return the coach's phone call? I mean, you know, and the coach's text? It's insane, Dale. It's insane. So my feeling is, without any question, Antonio Brown, you know, I don't know whether he's played his last game in Pittsburgh, but in my opinion, he should have played his last game in Pittsburgh. And I think Mike Tomlin has to think about drawing a more bold-faced line in the sand. I'm mixing metaphors horribly there. But I think he needs to be a more disciplined coach and not let his players get away with some of the things they get away with.
If the Steelers end up trading Antonio Brown, what do you think they could get back in a trade?
Well, you know, I think the really interesting specter of this, Rich, is if you look at the Oakland Raiders with 4 number one picks in the next 2 years, 3 of them this year, and 2 of them down in the 20s, where theoretically it might not be a bad match. You know, it might not be a bad thing to, if you're the Raiders and if you think that this guy is a classic Raider, we can take care of him, we can handle it. You know, if you think that, then I think the Raiders are the best possibility. Now, do I think that he's definitely, that's a good possibility? No, I don't, because I don't think the Steelers have decided with certainty whether to trade him yet. But I did note yesterday, far and away, the most respected guy on that beat who covers the Steelers and has covered them forever is a guy named Ed Bouchette. And he works for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Ed wrote a scenario yesterday that made it very possible, and in fact, he thought the best idea was to trade him, that he should have played his last game as a Steeler. And I'm just saying, Ed Bouchette has a very, very good sense of which way the wind is blowing in that organization. And I believe that when a guy like Ed Bouchette writes that, it's not written without some possibility that internally that's what they're thinking of doing.
Peter, in your opinion, is the Rooney Rule a valuable tool or a bad joke?
Well, I think if you have 5 coaches dismissed in 1 year, and you know, basically, or if you have 5 African American coaches dismissed in 1 year, it's a valid question. But I guess I would look at it this way. The only one who was dismissed that I find particularly objectionable is Steve Wilks in Arizona. This was a team with in a clear rebuild. And this is a team that was going to be playing a rookie quarterback most, if not all, of the year. And they were a bad team. So what? Big surprise. That's the one that bothers me. None of the other ones really surprise me or bother me particularly. Hugh Jackson, not at all. Marvin Lewis, not at all. Vance Joseph, I mean, he had 2 years, and I just don't think he was a very good game coach, and he couldn't get them out of tailspins. So I guess I would say, Dale, that it's hard to force people to hire somebody who they don't want to hire. And I'll be looking to see who not only gets interviews this year, but whether the NFL starts to replenish what they have made a huge priority. If they can replenish the number of black coaches in the NFL.
The Patriots in the divisional round will face either the Texans, Chargers, or Ravens. Which matchup do you think would be the best for the Patriots?
I think Houston. I think the Ravens are a very, very difficult match for anybody right now because they got a quarterback who's running the ball 15 times a game very effectively. they've got a team that's running the ball 65% of the time over the last seven games. I mean, it's just, it's unheard of. It hasn't happened in our lifetime, basically. It hasn't, it didn't even happen with big running teams like the Packers of the 60s. But anyway, I guess I would look at it and say that I think Houston is most vulnerable at a really, really important spot, and that is the offensive line. You know, they're getting their quarterback killed. And so to me, I would, even though that is a really, really excellent front, defensive front, I think you'd be able to make hay rushing Deshaun Watson. And plus, I mean, they've played each other about 100 times in the last 3 or 4 years. Though I'm sure the Patriots know everything about the Texans.
Peter, we always appreciate the time. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. See ya.
See ya.
Thanks, Peter.
Peter King, Football Night in America, joining us as he does every Thursday.